Matthew 11:25-30. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Well, as you know, our topic this lunchtime is stress and anxiety in the city. Is there any relief? Or another way to phrase that is, where can true rest be found? That's the question I've put on the top of your outlines there. That is deep and lasting rest for the soul. That deep and lasting rest for the soul that we all crave. Because we know, don't we, that taking a holiday, at best, only gives us a shallow or fleeting kind of rest, or no rest at all, as those of us with small children will know. With technological advances and hyper-connectivity through the internet, we might also ask, has life just got faster in the last 20 years? One study suggests that 74% of us have been so stressed at one stage or other that we felt unable to cope. I wonder if you ever find yourself looking back wistfully to a trouble-free childhood, those carefree summer days. Or perhaps your days have never been trouble-free. But wasn't life supposed to get better or easier? There is an increasing discussion, therefore, in the city about how anxiety might be relieved. We all know, don't we, of course, that having a holiday can help, but only temporarily. But what about solutions that produce resilience? That's a big buzzword in the city. That is resilience within the experience of normal life. What about mindfulness? What about CBT? What about exercise, a good diet? What about medication? What about friends, a good work-life balance? What about a bespoke combination of all of these things, or some of these things, that works for you? There is evidence that all of those things can help to relieve some of the symptoms, especially of stress. There's an interesting recent study that was done in Spain, 2014, which was actually focusing on both exercise and mindfulness and comparing the two. And it found that both exercise and mindfulness significantly helped to reduce stress, and mindfulness significantly more so than exercise. However, interestingly as well, neither mindfulness nor exercise was as effective in reducing anxiety. Anxiety, it seems, operates on a deeper and more permanent level. Now, I want us to see that the Bible breaks into this discussion and says something unequivocal and unique and exclusive. The Bible says, you won't find deep and lasting rest in any of those places. Doesn't matter how well you train yourself to think, doesn't matter how much you meditate, doesn't matter how well you change your routine. Only Jesus Christ offers deep and lasting rest. And that's the truth that I want to just us to consider this lunchtime. So I've pointed us to some words of Jesus where he claims to be the only one who can offer true rest for our souls, both in this life and the next. So if you've closed up, just open Matthew 11 again, and I'm going to read from verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want us to notice straight away that Jesus offers rest both in this life and the next. It is immediate because he says, "Take my yoke upon you." Or in other words, surrender to my rule. I don't know if you have an agricultural background. But the yoke in an agricultural society was just that wooden crossbar that you would place across the shoulders of two oxen as you were ploughing to control where they went. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and I will give you rest. In other words, the one who surrenders to the rule of Jesus Christ immediately begins to experience the rest of Jesus Christ. But it is a rest that will stretch into eternity. Did you see that in verse 29? He says, you will find rest for your souls. The great Christian evangelist Billy Graham once said this in an interview, and when I heard it, I thought, you know what, I think that's a pretty good summary of the Bible's message. It was a TV interview. He turned to face the camera and said, God loves us, and he wants to help us in this life and to save our souls in eternity. I thought that's a pretty good summary of the Bible's message. And is that not exactly what Jesus is saying here? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. He has come not for the proud, the self-satisfied, not for the wise in their own eyes who think they don't need him. He's come for the weary, for the heavy laden, those who know their need of him. And did you notice that he leaves it wonderfully general? That is, he doesn't specify with what you might be weary or heavy laden. Are you weary with anxiety? Come to me, I will give you rest. Are you burdened with shame or guilt about the things you've done in the past? Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Are you just weary of life? Its frustrations, its constant oppressiveness, its apparent meaninglessness? Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Are you burdened with fears about the future? Fear of dying? Fear of facing God's judgment? Unforgiven? Come to me, and I will give you rest. There are many voices clamoring for the attention of the weary and heavy laden in the city. Jesus Christ says, no, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Surrender to my rule, and I will give you rest. Now, we need to see firstly what Jesus means by rest, because Jesus means so much more by rest than just a sense of peace or even of resilience or well-being. He doesn't mean less than that, but he means so much more. Because when Jesus talks about rest, he's picking up on a concept in the Bible that has been there from the very beginning. In fact, did you know that rest is the Bible's first word for heaven? I put a verse there on your sheet that comes from the second chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. I'm just going to read it. And God says this after he's finished creation. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. When God had finished making this universe, and he saw that the world was perfect, with everything as it was meant to be, before humanity rebelled and fell under God's judgment. Well, that was called God's rest. And it's been, and that is the existence that we were made for, to live in perfect relationship with God in a perfect world. So when Jesus comes in and says, come to me and I will give you rest, he's saying, come to me and I will give you heaven, eternity with God. In the perfect place. We can begin to experience that now, and then one day fully. But I want to see, why is this? So I want us to see, secondly, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time, secondly, that according to Jesus, true rest is an issue of rule. In other words, it's who's in charge. It's a question of who's in charge. Now, this is surprising to us, I think. I think we find this surprising because in all the stuff that's out there about rest or well-being, the question of rule or who's in charge is just not really on the agenda. We think that we can find rest for our souls in a certain technique, whether it's learning to think differently, or whether it's rearranging what we do with our bodies, exercise or diet. In mindfulness, for example, rest is an issue of awareness, not rule. So in mindfulness, it's about activating the ability of non-attachment to emotions. It's thought that the key to being able to being free from anxiety is being able to step back and to gain some perspective, to control how you're feeling. It's an issue of awareness. In cognitive behavioural therapy, it's effectively learning to think positively. But the truth is that none of these things, according to Jesus, are radical enough. They are symptom relievers at best, like putting up a precarious wall to hold back an ocean. No, says Jesus, there needs to be a much more fundamental change. There needs to be a change of rule. So Jesus asks us in these verses, in whose hands are you putting your life? He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my rule upon you. Now, this idea, I think, is massively counterintuitive and paradoxical to us, because we say, no. The one thing we know is that fundamental to our well-being, to our human flourishing, is me being in charge. We need to throw off the shackles if we're to be free, if we're to be truly human. So when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, and there you will flourish and find well-being, well, to us that is massively counterintuitive, isn't it? And paradoxical almost. So why does Jesus think that true rest is only found not in tinkering with the mind or the body, but in a wholesale radical change of rule? Well, that brings us to point number two on the sheet. Rest is an issue of rule because his rule is freeing while ours is enslaving. It is no surprise that Jesus Christ, our Creator, when we take his rule upon us, it is freeing. Just look down at verse 30 again. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. Literally, my yoke is kind and my burden is light. Imagine you, for a second, please, imagine that you've been carrying a massive rucksack throughout your life full of lead weights, and every year another weight just gets added to that rucksack. Yeah, and you are bent double under the weight. And so the picture we have here is that as we kneel down before Jesus and surrender to his rule, surrender our lives to him, as we do that, so he lifts off the back-breaking rucksack and replaces it with one of those plimsoll bags that you used to take to your PE lessons at school with a couple of flip-flops in it. Verse 30, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We're all ruled by someone. That is, we're all carrying a yoke on our backs. The only question is, whose yoke are we carrying? British psychotherapist Beverly Hills, yes, apparently that is her real name. British psychotherapist Beverly Hills said that a massive source of anxiety is over expectations from parents and carers and society. That's been her experience as she's dealt with people with anxiety. In other words, expectations from others can lie heavily on our shoulders, and no doubt she is right about that. But I suggest she is half right, because we need to add the expectations that we place upon ourselves. There's a fascinating article here from the health and well-being section of the BBC website by a 28-year-old city worker called Rianne. She's refreshingly honest about her struggles with anxiety and how it feels to have what she calls millennial burnout. My brain never stops, she says. I'm constantly on hyper alert about the things I should be doing. I can't sit down in front of the TV for more than 2 minutes. I just have to get up and do something. But the interesting thing as well is what she says here. I'm just going to read from this. She says, my job is a big priority for me, and I put a lot of pressure on myself to work hard. I have endless to-do lists that I never complete. But when I end up not doing the things on my list, I'm left feeling even more overwhelmed. Who's laying the burdens on her back? Well, she is. Yes, in conversation with society around, which is confirming her sense that if she doesn't achieve, she's not worth much. But ultimately, she is laying the burdens on her back. I remember someone discussing this text in Matthew 11, saying that we are harsh masters of ourselves. Do we really know how best to treat ourselves, how to run our lives? Or is that a job that is much better given to our Creator, Jesus Christ? And actually, the Bible says it's our pride, it's our self-centered pride that is our fiercest taskmaster. That is our desire to be at the centre and the top, for everyone to be looking at me. Do you want to be respected? Well, that's your own yoke that you're putting on your shoulders. And it is an extremely harsh taskmaster. It's an extremely heavy yoke to carry. The reality is that outside of the rule of Jesus Christ, we carry a double yoke on our shoulders, that imposed by ourselves and others. And so the issue is rule. Who's in charge? Someone's yoke is on our back. The only question is whose? Can I aim a word here at people who follow Jesus, who are constantly feeling overwhelmed with stress and anxiety? Now, it's a complex issue, and there may be many causes. But it may be because you're trying to rule yourself in certain areas of your life and not letting Jesus do it. It may be that you need to ask, is this expectation on my shoulders, is that from Jesus or is it from me? But why can we trust Jesus more than ourselves? That's the question. And that brings us, I think, to the heart of this passage. His character. Verse 29. Did you notice that little clause in verse 29? Jesus says, "For I am gentle and lowly of heart." Literally, humble of heart. That is why his burden is light. Because though he is the king of the universe, and he is gentle and humble. And can I say, you won't find that combination of awesome authority, the King of the universe, the Son of God, awesome authority, and gentleness, humility, anywhere else. How did Jesus treat the weary and heavy laden, the suffering, the struggling, the needy? Well, while others tried to push away the little children, he said, "Let the children come to me." He said these words as well, "The blind have received their sight, the lame have walked, the lepers have been cleansed, the deaf have heard, the dead have been raised to life, and the poor have good news preached to them." If that's what he's like, if that's how he treated them, how do you think he will treat you? The Bible puts it like this. Actually, it's there in chapter 12, verse 20. If you want to turn to it. "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not quench." In other words, he is gentle. If you feel broken, damaged, dying, like a bruised reed, well, he didn't come to break you. He came to restore you, to revive you, and to raise you up after death for eternal life. Do you feel like a faintly glowing wick on a candle, as if you are barely alive or burning slowly out? He came to rescue you, to rescue you out from underneath God's judgment, back into eternal rest, the rest that you were made for. Because as we take Jesus' yoke upon us, we put ourselves in the hands of the gentlest and kindest Lord there ever has been. Someone might ask, what exactly is freeing about living under Jesus' rule today? What exactly is freeing about it? Well, it's freeing because although we still have troubles, there's not a single anxiety he can't lift off. I found this to be my experience. I wonder if it's yours. Where others simply don't have answers, he does. When we are anxious about the future, anxieties about the future, in my experience, they just keep coming as a Christian. But every time, Jesus gently lifts them off with 1,000 promises of a glorious future. What about burdens of guilt and shame? Keep coming as Christians. That's my experience. Again, every time he lifts them off with 1,000 promises. The one who died for our sin. What about where we are being crushed by expectations in the present that we place on ourselves? Well, he lifts them off and replaces them with his own freeing commands to serve others wholeheartedly. Can I say, I think you can ask any Christian will tell you, one of the strangest things about surrendering to the rule of Jesus is that on the one hand, his demands on our life seem so all-encompassing. Self-sacrifice, a life of love, serving others. And yet, on the other hand, they are so freeing. Because it's the life that we were made to live. I just want to pause now to think about the place of other helps, other practical helps, because I'm aware that today we are touching on a complex mental health issue when we talk about anxiety. If we are saying that deep and lasting rest are only found in Jesus, does that mean there is no place for things like medication or exercise, that kind of thing, in dealing with anxiety and stress? In a word, now I don't think it does mean there's no place for those things. But there are three words in verse 29 that we haven't yet mentioned that should form the hope and strategy of anyone who wants to experience deep rest in this life and the next. It is indeed how Jesus' rule is experienced in the present. Did you see them? Three words. Learn from me. Whatever practical helps there may be, and there may well be some, if you want rest for your souls, they must all be geared towards one thing. And that is to learn from Jesus Christ in the scriptures. It's interesting, I have a couple of Christian friends who have had clinical anxiety over the years and have used medication and benefited from it. So their thing is, you know, if you break a leg, you go to hospital. If your mind breaks, well, you take some medication, and it makes perfect sense. But interestingly, they both say that medication doesn't actually take away the anxiety. What the medication does is give them space to think. It enables them to rationalize and to stop listening to just the voices in their head, but just some space to allow them to hear words coming from outside, words of comfort that they really need to hear from Jesus Christ. It gives them space to learn from him. I guess the same could be said of every other kind of physical help there is. So there is your three-word strategy, learn from me. Interestingly, it's not prayer. Prayer will spring out of it. But fundamentally, learn from Jesus in the scriptures. What about mindfulness? I think we have to touch on this because it's such a big issue increasingly. Well, I suggest that this is different because mindfulness comes with a worldview attached, that is, with teaching attached. So someone has helpfully, I think, described mindfulness as Buddhism in Western clothing. It was taken on by a number of psychologists in the 70s, I think, and created, but out of the Buddha's teachings and added scientific thinking added to it. But the thing is that almost everything the Buddha said was directly contradictory to the words of Jesus. So I for one cannot see how someone can simultaneously come to Jesus for rest and mindfulness. As far as I can see, it's one or the other. You can come and learn from the Buddha, or you can come and learn from Jesus Christ. With secular CBT, perhaps slightly more complex, it may be useful diagnostically, and that has been the experience of some. But again, I would suggest that we always need to be asking, who am I learning from here? Is it Jesus, or is it secular psychologists? Well, as we close, hear these words from somebody talking about heaven. He says this: we were made for a person and a place. The person is Jesus Christ. The place is his perfect new creation rest. So when we surrender to the rule of Jesus Christ today, we begin to taste heaven because we begin to taste him. Our experience of his rest will not yet be perfect. We will struggle, we may well struggle with anxiety. But is deep rest from anxiety available in Christ today by surrendering to his rule and listening to his voice? Yes, it is. But one day our rest will be full and perfect in the place under the rule of Jesus Christ, our Creator forever. So one question for all of us, I think, as we close. Whose yoke are you carrying? Yours or his? It may just be for someone today. I know this won't be the case for everyone. There may be someone who's been investigating Jesus' claims for a while. Someone today might be the day to surrender to his rule forever and to begin to taste heaven. Or if that's not you, please do take a gospel. They're free to take away and read it for yourself and keep investigating these things. Well, it's our practice to pray as we close, so I'm going to do that if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the rest and heaven that is available as we come to him now and forever. We pray that you would help us to respond reasonably and rationally to this. In Jesus' name, amen.